get here, run the water for a while. We got to take four samples, and they're going to charge us about $20 each to turn those in. Yeah, that's what I said. I said, okay, now I know. I see what's going on. Yeah, I got you. All right, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 19 says, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into... we're going to stop right there. I apologize. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you help me to focus tonight, as it already seems like I've lost it. But Lord, I just pray that you move me aside. Let your word take over. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit teaches us and instructs us through your word tonight. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. When we are looking at verse 19, we see a disciple that came to the Lord and said, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere you go. And you know what? That's a great attitude to have. It's a great spirit to have. Lord, whatever you would have me to do, wherever you would want me to go, I want to go. But then Jesus doesn't say, oh, that's fantastic. Oh, that's wonderful. It reminds me of when I told somebody one time, my pastor told him, and the guy comes up and goes, so your pastor says you want to be a preacher. And I said, yes. He goes, what'd you want to do that for? He was a pastor, and I go, no idea what to tell him. That's not the response that you're expecting. We have a hard enough time. Hey, who wants to follow Christ? And we throw it out there, and there's not a lot of people nowadays stand up and say, I will follow Christ. I will step out. I will do things differently than the rest of the world. I will pray. I will read my Bible. I will serve. I'll do kind things for others. I'll be forgiving and loving. I'll be light. I'll be salt. I'll be whatever you want. We have a hard enough time getting people to do that. So to hear somebody say, well, just so you know, there's no pillows out here. That's what the Lord was saying. There's no pillows out here. We see a world today, that's how they try to pitch Christianity. If you do Christianity right, you'll be healthy and you'll be rich. Traditionally, that has not been the case. Traditionally, that's not been the exchange. When we sacrifice all for Christ, we sacrifice all for Christ. Now, most of us, we get off easy in this following Christ. You are supposed to stay where you are. You're supposed to build a life. You're supposed to be a beacon to others in your community. You're supposed to have a place to live, a job to work at, a car to drive around. You can stay right where you are. And that's wonderful. But if you choose to follow Christ, there's no guarantees that that's the way it's going to be. There have been people who have surrendered themselves over to being doctors. And they put in the school, and they developed practices, and they've had great clientele, patients that would come. Things were fantastic, and that's the way they were going to retire, and this was the plan, and then God calls them into the ministry. There have been people who have lived their lives. I know of a couple particular men who are close to retirement. God called them into ministry. They're sitting there on one Sunday going, all right, two more years of work. I'll finish up this, and then it'll be nothing but relaxing in the backyard for the rest of my days. The Lord called them into ministry. They had to move. Sold the house they raised their kids in. You know, and not that we were in that house for too long, but that's where we were. So, all right, here's my plans for this house. This such and such a year, we're going to put a new roof on it. We're working on the backyard to get the lawn to come in nice. And we're going to do this with the insulation. And we're going to one day, oh man, the bids we got to one day put air conditioning in that thing. Right? We had plans. And then it was time to sell it and move on. See, there's no plans that we get to be aware of. When God says go, we go. It is a bad deal to try to sell the Christian life as one that never has problems. one that is always cushy and wonderful and nice. You see those preachers and those pastors out there? They've got people in their congregations, widows in the congregations that cannot pay their rent. And they go home with money. They pass the tray around and around and around and around until they had enough money. Then they go home to their mega mansions. And they fly around in their big old planes and they cruise around on their yachts while the people in their church starve. That's not Christianity. But they sell that to be so. God will make you rich. That's not what he promised this disciple. You come with me. And there's no pillows. We're working out here. We're working hard. To follow Christ should imply hard work. It should imply some sacrifice. Oh, we have a hard time doing that today, don't we? We have a hard time sacrificing. I told this story to somebody today about, I think I've mentioned it a few times from the pulpit. You know, back when I would check packages in and out. I'd have people come in. Hey, listen, sorry, I can't pay the rent. Things are going terrible. My mom died, and then on the way, my uncle died. And then while we were at the funeral, my cat died. And then on my way home from the funeral, the car died. And now I'm just here, and everything's been terrible and awful. Oh, no. All right, listen, here's what you go through, and you do the business with them. Here's some help. You can call this number, and everything will be fine, and we'll work it out, and blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, by the way, while I'm here, I have a package. Oh, okay, well, where's that out? What's your address again? It's big old screen television. Okay, there you go. I had one person one time, they were 2 months behind on their rent. They were so excited about the brand new car that they just bought that they had to come in and tell me. And I said, well, while you're here, they're like, oh, yeah, you'll probably want to change the information in my file. I go, yep, get license plate, register. Okay, I got you. All right, now the other thing I want to talk to you about, oh, yeah, well, see, I had to use that money for the down payment on the car. Don't worry, I will catch up with you. They didn't. They didn't. Priorities, sacrifice, being able to strip things down to the basics so you can afford to take care of the problems. We have a massive sin problem in this world, and that problem is leading to a lot of people dying and going to hell. What sacrifices are we making? I think of the Jameses right now. They're in Fort Lauderdale. They are waiting for a phone call. No doubt in my mind, I don't know much about Brother James, but in my mind, he's got a full tank of gas and he's ready to go. He's probably dressed the moment the clinic is open, and he's probably ready to go. Keys in his pocket until the moment it closes. Because he wants to get back. Well, brothers, shouldn't he be enjoying time with his family now that he's here back in the States? Shouldn't that just be a time of him relaxing? Not in his mind. He has made a sacrifice. I am for the work. And you talk to him. He is itching to go back. But right now, the Lord's got him here. We think of all the sacrifices missionaries have made down through the years where they have left easy places. They have left good jobs. They have left big families. And they have packed up their house. And they have packed up their wives and their children. And they have gone to foreign places to give aid and to preach to different places. Some have given their entire lives. Some are happy as a clam where they are and they continue their work and they are glad to be there. But folks, to serve God takes sacrifice. Even as we serve God right here in our town, it requires sacrifice. Oh, I am nervous to talk to this person about the gospel. Your nerves are one thing you're going to have to sacrifice. In order to serve God properly, we're going to have to get over that. Well, that's not very nice. What do you mean I got to get over it? Shouldn't I worship my anxieties? No, you ought to give all your care over to God. And say, Lord, I understand these people are in a rough situation. Let me help them. I don't mean rough situation, as the world would say rough situation. They're having car trouble, they're having trouble with their bills, they're having trouble with this, they're having trouble with that. No, I'm talking about the biggest trouble. I'm talking about an eternity in a lake of fire. And a rich man can be in a rough situation, a poor man can be in a rough situation. It is all about the spirit, all about the soul. Where are they going when they die? What sin has put its hooks into that person and is draining them dry? And after all, that's what it is. It's what it is. People think that these little things that we get involved in, that tickle our brain for a little bit, the little entertainments, the drugs, the alcohol, the whatever have you, the lying and the cheating and all the stuff that we do to get life the way we want it to get, those things aren't helpful. They drain us. They beat us. They kill us. Man, I'm sure if we talk to a couple funeral directors, they'll tell us exactly what the party life does and how quickly it ends a life. There must be sacrifices. There are people in need. There must be times when we give over and above. There must be times where we are uncomfortable. Jesus himself said, what? Foxes, they have holes. Birds of the air, they have nests. I don't have a pillow out here. And he wasn't complaining, he was warning them. Now here's the thing. That's what Christ was willing to do for the people of that day. To heal them, to preach to them, and at one time die for them. That's the love he had for us. We are too nervous to talk to our neighbor. We cannot always be bothered to read our Bibles. We have too much going on to pray. We see somebody on the side of the road hurt or in need. We see somebody in the checkout line and we see that they've got a problem and we roll our eyes because they're taking up too much time. Stopped and got groceries today. And we're doing that thing where they come and they put it in the car for you. And I like to talk to people. I know not everybody likes to be talked to when they're working. I can't help it. I try. Like, hey, how you doing today? I go, well, I'm picking up groceries. Can't be doing too bad. Right? Because there's some folks out there who aren't. And there have been moments in your life, and there have been moments in my life, where I couldn't. Where I'm sitting there going, all right, well, let me check this cabinet one more time. I'm sure there must be ramen in there somewhere. You know? We were in college. I was joking back and forth with my roommate. And we were out of food. We were out of money. And I go, I'm going to check that counter. I'm going to check that cabinet one more time. He goes, man, there ain't nothing up there but mice. I go, I thought for a second. I go, well, how much seasoning do we have left? I hope you've never been there. And if you have been, I hope you never go back. But I try to remember those days. When I'm sitting there looking at the groceries coming in. And I see people huff and they fuss at people in the grocery line. You know how much of a blessing it is to be in the grocery line? But we blow up. We get frustrated. We get bothered. We fail to realize the goodness that God has brought into our lives. And we become finicky. We become fussy over the worst of things. Hey, listen, we were all out of that kind of asparagus. We've got something else. It is asparagus. It's just cut. Is that a problem? Wah! We have zero tolerance for being uncomfortable anymore. We feel this entitlement to go off and be rude and be mean. Jesus Christ slept on a rock for you so we could go about doing ministry. He didn't sit down. I'm looking at those prices to go up to Traverse City for the hotel rooms. Up to $300 a night. You sit there and you go, that's why he slept on a rock. Sitting there thinking, maybe I'll sleep on a rock too. That's ridiculous. $300 a night. I'm sitting there saying, how far back can I go and stay before I might as well just stay home? You know what I mean? Just drive all the way back to the house. I even looked up my wife's family's cabin. to see, all right, well, how far away is that from there? That's an hour and a half. Can I tolerate that at night? I don't know. He didn't fuss around with hotels. He didn't fuss around with nice places. I'm sure all he thought of was where he needed to be and why he needed to be there. And that's the Christ that loves you. Can't get a preacher to come. Oh, hold on. I got a speaking fee. Let me run it through my office. They'll tell you everything you need to know. What needs to be in the green room. What needs to be waiting for me. What needs to be there. Start treating some of these guys like they're rock stars. The greatest one that has ever been on earth didn't care for any of that. There was no time. There was no time. He didn't have a tour bus. He didn't have a grand following. He didn't have a GoFundMe. He didn't have a speaking fee. He did as his Father commanded. And then looking back at us, how finicky we can be. Oh, I can't be bothered to go that far. I can't be bothered to speak to that person or that person or that kind of person. Oh no. It requires sacrifice to serve the Lord. And in sacrifice, there is just a little bit of discomfort. Your expectations need to be in tune with what Christ's were. You know what Christ's expectations were? He was going to get the job done. Going to get the job done. As the book of Acts says, as many as should be saved. That's who he was out talking to. He was doing the miracles. He was traveling around. And he was getting closer and closer to the cross. Here on Wednesday as we were talking, and as you see, we're only in Matthew 8, but we can see his eyes, his mind is already turned to that point. This is where I'm going. This is what I will do, and I'm doing it because I love you. That was his expectation. That the gospel would be made full for us. And that there would be people to preach it and teach it so we could hear it today. That was his expectation. Nowadays, that's not always the expectation. You talk to some young preachers. Well, my first church, I'm hoping to at least have 100 to 120 to about 150. You know, I've got a few smaller churches that call me. I don't want to go there. We'll see. They said, that they go, what do you think? I go, I think maybe... maybe you should not look for a church right now. And I've met some and say, hey, listen, before I could join a church, I got to make sure that they're offering at least this much to take care of the needs that we have as a family, or else I'm not going to be able to go. I think maybe you should sit down for a minute. Let's think about it. Because our expectations should be where Christ's are. Our expectations should be towards the work, not what we should get out of it. Not what we should get out of it. You hear some people, they complain. I was at that coffee shop one time, and there was that kid who was just complaining about his job at his church. They were supposed to take him on full time. He was supposed to get paid more, but he didn't understand why they weren't paying him more. And I sat there and I wondered, I go, you know, Christ didn't get paid at all. Christ didn't get paid at all. What if we went back to the way that it was and there was no paying people to be in church? There was no paying for a pianist. There was no paying for a music row. There was no paying people. What if the people that showed up to play the music showed up to play the music to worship God and not put on a show? What if the people that showed up to make sure that the recordings took place, to make sure that the wheels ran good in the church, did so to serve God? Now listen, if you're clocked in somewhere, you get your money. You get taken care of. You negotiate. You do what's right. Right? If you come in, and like the Bible story, you come in and you get paid a penny an hour, you get paid a penny an hour. You get paid a penny a day, you get that penny a day. You take care of yourself at work. When it comes down to God, you do what you're supposed to do because you're doing it for Him. How much did Christ charge us for our salvation? Not a dime I paid. There wasn't a thing I could do to earn salvation, to pay for salvation. There's no buy-in. There's no rental fee. There's no deposit I could put down big enough for my salvation. And I appreciate it. I hope you're not sitting there going, well, Pastor, we pay you. I appreciate what the church does. You guys provide for my needs so that I can be available for you. And I hope you have always found me to be so. But I promise you, as I've always promised you, if that ever dries up, I'm still here. Because this is not about money. This is about serving the Lord. Our expectations need to be in tune with Christ's. And the phrase, a successful life, means something entirely different here. It means something entirely different. You look at these people who are deep into finance. What is success to somebody who's in finance? Well, a balanced portfolio, diversified options, great amount of money in the bank account, savings, different investment things that they've got going on. That's success. Somebody in the medical field, what is great success to them? They measure that in lives changed and lives saved. Do they not? For somebody who's an over-the-road truck driver, what is success for them? The amount of product that they have moved and the miles they have driven. For the Christian, a successful life is one that is spent in serving God. It is getting to the end and hearing God say, well done. That is successful. You could have $1 million in the bank. You could be negative in the bank when you die. But if you hear God say, well done, you've had a successful life. But you won't get it if pillows need to be involved. If you need to be enticed. If you need comforts. If you need to, if you need soft conditions, serving God ain't it. It's hard to serve God nowadays. There's too much hatred. There's too much distrust. There's too much controlling yourself to ever call it a comfortable thing. We see he speaks to a different one. Verse 21, another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Now, there's traditions among the Jewish people when it came down to folks dying. There's been many commentaries that said that what he wanted to do was go home and care for his ailing father as his father passed on. Lord, let me go back. Some say it was just literally that. Let me go and put him into the ground. When we go to serve God, there's no stepping away. When we're saved, we are made a brand new creature. So when we're looking at this, I want you to consider the missionaries that have gone overseas and missed birthdays and Christmases and Thanksgivings, and they missed funerals, and they missed a lot of things. Because there was no getting back in time for those things. We would say the same for a soldier. How many of them come home and they go to visit freshly dug graves? Or they hold babies that are already weeks old because of their sacrifice. There have been many a missionary who's missed out on much of their lives. Because when they said they would follow Christ anywhere, they went. I was joking around. Danielle, in high school, she did this cool thing where she spent a summer over in Japan. Now, here's the thing. She loved it. She had a time of her life. And she experimented with food, and she got to learn the language, and it was all wonderful. She walked everywhere. And she enjoyed beautiful scenery. But that's not what I heard. All I heard was, oh, what kind of food was it? And she described fish and more fish and rice. She described one time where there was a squid, wasn't dead yet. And I sat there and said, of all the places on earth, I hope the Lord never sends me to a place where that's the kind of food. And one of the preachers at the school that I was at, he laughed and he said, "You better be careful saying that." As a matter of fact, another preacher said later on, not directly to me, but in a sermon, "You got to be careful where you're Nineveh. Well, you got to be careful making a Nineveh. You got to be careful on laying out a Nineveh, because that might be where the Lord sends you. Got to be careful with it." You know, here I am, happy in Michigan. I'm an hour and a half away from mom and dad. Could not have asked for a better situation. I love this state. It is just as cold as I want it to be. And though it gets a little bit hotter than I want it to be, I can trust on those days, the cold days are coming. I wouldn't last long in Texas. I'd hate to be over in California. Don't put me in Kansas where the wind is trying to kill me. No. Leave me right here. You ever notice how here in Michigan, there's absolutely nothing looking to kill you around here? I mean, there's people. You got to be careful with the people. A lot of mean people in this world. Between the drivers and just people being crazy, you got to be careful with that. But I've never been out in my garden and found an animal or a critter that could kill me. I can pretty much survive anything that bites me, and I like that. So I said, "Well, what about a bear? I don't go where bears go. If I get that far, I turn around, I go home. I like this state. I got to be careful. Don't make a Nineveh. Because when God says go, you must go. And there's no coming back." Well, brother, I've been in the same state, in the same kind of area for all of my life. That's not true for me. Well, you praise the Lord for that he left you right here to stay doing what you're doing and be what you're being. That's wonderful. Not everybody's going to be that way. Some people, you tell God, "I'll go anywhere you want to go," and they send you to some place they can't pronounce. And you know what? You're going to have the time of your life doing that. You'll be happy as a clam doing that. You're going to learn things. And you're going to grow, and you're going to help people you would have never met had you not told God, "I'll go anywhere you want me to go." It's wonderful. But whether you are here or whether you are in places abroad, you cannot go back. Once you know what serving God is like, once you have started to serve God, whether it is in your community or whether it is out there, you cannot stop. And you shouldn't stop. Well, what if things get hard? It's guaranteed to be difficult. It's in the brochure. Well, what if people get mean? Well, Jesus explained it. They're not being mean to you. They just don't like him. And you just kind of smell like him, so oops. And we're glad for it. We're glad. That's weird, but we're glad for it. But it's, again, in the brochure, it is guaranteed. You see, they're taking the log flume right out at Cedar Point. They're taking that out. I was standing in line on that ride one time. Somebody asked, I heard it, "Do you get wet on this ride?" That's what it's for. It's what it says. That Snake River Canyon one where you're in the big donut and it bounces you around and you go out there and it just dumps water on people. My favorite game was to sit there and look at the chairs that were already soaked and not sit there. Like, well, clearly it's not going to come around and get me. I was always wrong, but got to think. Am I going to get wet on this? Somebody brought a little dog with them. It's my service animal. It's my emotional support chihuahua. They wouldn't let the chihuahua ride. It wasn't safe. And I'm glad, because that emotional support chihuahua was about to be an emotional problem if it got wet. It's what it's for. It's going to get you wet. Well, if it gets difficult, it's supposed to be difficult. Well, what if people get angry about me? That's what it's supposed to happen. Remember, the world doesn't like to be told they're wrong. Nobody likes to be told they're wrong. Right? You find somebody who says, "Well, I love to be told I'm wrong." You disagree with them, say, "No, you don't." You watch what they do. "I like it when people tell me I'm wrong." "No, you don't." Watch their face. Nobody likes it. Especially when it comes from a moral authority like God's. You're nothing, but God, that's a problem for people. You tell me there's a God. You tell me he has expectations on my life. No, thank you. And you're the one telling him. So guess what we like to do? We like to shoot the messenger. Again, it is part of the program. This will happen. That will happen. You cannot quit. What else will happen? You're going to get tired. You're going to get tired. I've been doing this job for 4 years. I'm like, I'm young. I won't get tired. I'll be honest with you, there's a few weeks I'm tired. What do you do all day? Come follow me. Come follow me. Get tired. I mean, not be a very physical job, but mentally and spiritually, especially spiritually, I get tired. Tired. You can't quit. You got to regroup. You got to reform. You got to take a break. You got to rest in the Lord. You got to lay your burdens on him. You got to do a lot of stuff. Just like you do with your body. You got to let it sleep. You got to let it rest. You got to unplug it for a minute. Whatever you do physically, you got to do spiritually. But you can't quit. This person in particular, I got to go bury my dad. You know what's going to happen while you're serving the Lord and doing everything right? Every now and then you're going to get socked in the jaw. Something in life is going to come and it's going to beat you. And it's going to wear you out physically. And it's going to wear you out emotionally. It's going to wear you out spiritually. We talk about grief. This man was talking about grief. Let me go and mourn and grieve and handle my father's affairs, and I will be right back. There will be moments in your life. You've had them. You'll have them again, where grief rocks you. Disappointment interrupts you. These things will happen. And you know what you can't do? You can't quit. Why? Because if I quit, that puts distance between me and the only one who can help me get back up. Why would I leave the one I need most? I tell people all the time, I've said it in hospitals, I've said it in funeral parlors, I've said it in this church, I've said it in quiet places in people's living rooms. There are not words I can string together to make this better, to make this go away. You have to go through the hurts. But you know who will never fail you? God. I might not have the right words. You might not have the right words. You might not know what to do. I might not know what to do. God always knows. Don't quit on him, because life gets hard. I'd sooner take off my safety belt before I get into a wreck. You ever do that? That person's driving crazy. Let's take the seatbelt off. You wouldn't do that, would you? You would. Oh, the ladder's kind of slippery. Let me jump up and down on it. You wouldn't do that. I think I'm going to fall off this bike. I better take my helmet off. Life's hard. I got to walk away from God for a while. You get closer. You get closer. Lord, I don't know if you know this, but my dad's, he's not doing so good. Let me go bury him. No, you stay here. They'll bury him. You got work to do. Now, to many people, they say, well, that's cold, that's callous, that doesn't make any sense. You have to understand, there's nothing that disciple could go and do. But you know who did need it? There are people who were going to die. And when they die, they'd go to hell. And he promised he'd go and work. So one must work. I did that one time. I had a relative die, and I told my boss to say, hey, listen, I just found out about it, the funeral's tomorrow. I've got such and such a days that I can take off. I would really like, oh, Matt, he's not a close enough relative, and you didn't put in enough notice, so I got to decline it. That's not what the Lord was doing to him. There was no going back. Like a missionary, there was no going back. We must go on. The Lord knew the timeline. The Lord knew what he would do with him. There was no going back. It doesn't tell us which disciples were which here. It doesn't tell us which one was which one. We don't even know if this is one of the main ones. But we know this. The disciples that stayed and followed Christ, they got to be a part of stuff no one's ever been able to be a part of since. Could you imagine walking around with Christ for 3 years? I mean, we've been studying through the New Testament, we've been studying through the Bible, but we've been studying through the New Testament every other year since I got here. And look at the stuff they've done already. I mean, every now and then you get to do something fantastic, and you get to be a part of something wonderful, but look at the stuff they did. Have you ever been out there given the gospel and somebody who's never walked before just was able to get back up because the pastor said, get up? Have you ever sat there and been passing out food at a potluck? Brother Mike, could you imagine that? You're out there, we're doing the conference, and every time you break off a piece of chicken, there's still chicken. Every time you dollop some meatballs, the jar never runs out. And we're sitting there with 5,000 plus people, we're doling out the same crock pot of meatballs. And no one's ever wondering why we didn't order more tenders. They're there. We've never had that. They got to see that. They got to sit there and, well, what do? He's dead. Here they come. He's alive. He's alive. And then you got that foot race between John and Peter. I absolutely love that he put that in there. You notice that John, I think that John and Peter, this is not biblical, turn it off for a second. It's not theological, this is not a pastoral moment. This is a guess, right? G-U-E-S-S, this is a guess. But I like to think that John and Peter had the same relationship that Brother Mike and Brother Charlie do. Because you'll notice that Matthew, Mark, Luke, they won't tell on Peter the way that John does. Right? John beat Peter to the... Could you imagine that? Like you're rushing. Like you're recalling in your mind, rushing to the tomb, and John's sitting there going, and then I beat Peter. It's funny, but that's something he gets to recall. Don't we do that? Don't we mix the great and wonderful things that God does with just a little bit of humor from things that took place? That funeral, I asked a bunch of people at his son's funeral, I said, hey, listen, if anybody would like to come up and share a few memories. And it was a very appropriate feeling. It was a very appropriate spirit in that room. I said, if anybody would like to come up and speak some words, I'd like to invite you to come up and do so. And somebody's phone went off and it went, I sat there and I go, you know, that's exactly what goes off in my head when somebody asks me to come up and speak. A little bit of the Lord helping and a little bit of humor. We get to be a part of tremendous things when we say yes to the Lord. Again, I'm going to pick on the Jameses. I've never been to Papua New Guinea. Never been. Doesn't that sound like one of the most exotic and cool places you could go to? I mean, you tell me, hey, we're going to Dallas, Texas. Like, oh, okay, sunblock. And blah, blah. You tell me we're going to Papua New Guinea. I don't know what to do there. I'm going to have to call somebody. What do I pack? What do I bring? Do I need vaccine? What do I need to be able to go there? That sounds wonderful. There's going to be some things I've never seen before and some philosophies and culture I've never known. Hey, that sounds amazing. He got to walk all through there. Why? For Christ. Now, I've heard some stories. It wasn't all joy. It wasn't all wonderful. It's what? It's what we talked about in the first place. It's sacrifice. And it's effort. And we're not just talking about coming from a nice fancy place where we got a McDonald's every 50 feet to going someplace where you've got to work for your food. You know what I mean? It's not like that kind of difference. It's not just giving up your personal desires and things like that. It is going to dangerous places. You know, where the things in the trees are trying to kill you. And they do have war and violence over there. And it's not as predictable as we would. Like, we have violence here in America. But I tell you what, we can pretty much guess if I stay out of there, I'm not going to get into that kind of violence. If I stay over here, I'm good. You know, if I go running around dressed as a deer during hunting season, I'm in trouble. I stay home, I'm safe. You following me? I don't start a fight, I won't be in a fight, right? For the most part. You go over there, you've got no idea what warlord's going to rise up, what gang, what faction's going to do, whatever have you. They had some scary stuff happen over there. It's sacrifice, but you get to see things and you get to experience things that you never would if you never followed God. It barely counts as a sacrifice in your heart and your mind. Everybody else will think you're crazy. Everybody else thinks you're giving up everything. You're so excited and so exuberant about serving and following after God, either in your community or whatever God has for you to do. You're so excited, you don't even think about it. Can't tell you how many of my bosses said, "Are you crazy? Hey, listen, I'm leaving. All right, are you leaving because you want more money? Are you leaving because of this? Like, who are you going to go work for?" And I told him, "I go, no, there's a church up in Mount Morris asked me to come up and be their pastor." "Oh, so you, like, what if I offered you a raise?" I go, "Well, how much are they going to pay you?" I go, "I don't know." I go, "You didn't talk to them about it?" I go, "No." "Don't you think you should?" I go, "We'll get to it." He thought I was nuts. CEO of a multi-million dollar company. What are you doing? Are you unhappy here? No. Some of the best times of my life. It's a wonderful job. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're all stressed out. But to be honest with you, we're all stressed out. It's a difficult job. Very stressful. Very taxing. But no. I'd have stayed. But I got to go. Okay. I thought I was nuts. On my final day, he called me. One more time, just to ask, "Are you sure?" They'll think you're crazy. And folks, I just moved an hour and a half away. I went from Michigan to Michigan. I went from south of Detroit to north of Flint. You know what I mean? There wasn't much of a difference there. And they thought I was crazy. You tell somebody that you're going thousands of miles away to a country whose language you barely speak. Think about what they say to them. What's wrong with you? "Oh no, I want to do something right. I want to do something right. This is what God wants me to do, so this is what I want to go do." And on the flip side, for those that stay and they get to be in their communities, you're put into the positions you're put into. Doctor, lawyer, mechanic, whatever. And you are to be a light and a vessel unto God in that spot. That's your mission field. And God's going to bless you in that job. And God's going to bless you with the people around. And you ought to be inviting people to the Lord and telling them about them and ask them to come to church with you. Come on in. I like days where I get to invite people to church. I can't wait till the day some of them finally start to show up. But I like it. I like days where I get to talk about the gospel. I like days where I like to hear people's problems and open the Bible and say, "This is what the Lord has to say about that." You can do that right here in your community. You could do that on the phone. You can do that on the internet. My, oh, my. Instead of us sitting there blasting out on social media what we think about politics. Politics ain't going to save this country. I don't care what person we put in that office. They're not going to save this country. Folks, I'm not even entirely sure they're going to serve this country. I've given up a long time ago that the politicians that work for us actually work for us. I gave up on that one. But you know who can help people? We can. We can. We can give the gospel. We can be charitable and loving and kind. We can be a light in this world. How about that? If we say, "Yes, Lord, I will serve you. Yes, Lord, I will follow. I don't care if there's pillows. I don't care if I get to quit or not. I don't care. I will serve you." If we do that, you get to be a little bit more powerful than the politicians in this world. Because you actually get to do something. Well, here's what we'll do. We'll fix the education system. We'll do this. We'll change that. We'll fix this over here. We'll introduce some new legislation. We'll get everybody involved in it. We'll get everything taken care of. And that's what we're going to do, and we'll fix everything. And how often do you see that actually panning out? You know who can take care of the educational problems for the people in your family and the people around you? You can. You got hungry people around you. You know the fastest way to take care of that? And ain't in a ballot box. You can. I was driving down the road and I saw another one of those churches. They had a food drive going on out back. We're out in the front. And I was driving by and they're setting up all these boxes of food. They got everything set up. This morning I heard somebody complaining. They said, oh, I was driving down that road too. I couldn't get down it for all the cars. And I go, well, that just tells you how many hungry people there are. Don't take much. Well, there's people out there, they're suffering with stress. They're suffering with problems. Man, nothing's ever taken care of my stress nor my problems like Christ has. Man, I have found things in the right time that don't make no sense otherwise. Say, well, those are coincidences. Well, I'm full of coincidences then. I have an unseemingly large number of coincidences for a guy like me. Well, you know, you surround yourself by, no. Because God gives me things in weird ways. And he'll do the same for everybody else. And that's what he's promised. That's what he promised he would do. At the same time, he says there's no pillows out here. And by the way, there's no quitting either. At the same time, he also says, if God can clothe the lilies of the field, and if he can take care of this and take care of that and make sure everything's got food out there, what makes you think he's not going to take care of you? That while there might not always be pillows, he will always give you just what you need. Oh, I don't think I need it. It's not how I want to solve the problem. Yeah, I know. Sometimes we solve problems wrong. Stop it with the pen. Sometimes we solve problems wrong. Sometimes we get the wrong ideas on how to fix things. We can't do that. Every now and then God will sit there and he'll give you something. And you go, well, why would God give me that? You've got to take that and you've got to look over and see, all right, what could this fix that I haven't thought about yet? I like this. We've had issues before where we got a check back from something or other, the exact amount that I would need to replace the car window that shattered 2 days from the day I got the check. So they're going, man, what are we going to do with this? Just put this much in savings, we'll pay that off and we'll do this. And oh, we might even have a nice night out. Well, how much is it? No. I think I already know. That's exactly right. And there have been moments where we get it after. Something bad will happen and we go, well, how are we going to fix that? How are we going to repair that? And then all of a sudden there comes the solution. You go, oh. And it wasn't because some friend gave it to you. It wasn't because of the position you've put yourself in or because you were entitled to it. Just something the Lord does. You know, it might not have been that $100 you were looking for, but it was baskets of food. It might not have been a brand new thing, but the old thing started working. That's my favorite. I wish I could fix all the things that break in my house just by waiting. You know what I mean? If I don't feel good, I just wait and I feel better. I wish my appliances did the same thing. Do you imagine that? Your toaster breaks, you just give it a second. Give them a day off. You come back with a doctor's note. No, sometimes that's the way the Lord works. You're going to see things you would not see if you didn't follow him. You're going to enjoy things you could not enjoy if you didn't follow him. And there is nothing like a life spent in Christ's presence. Amen. We used to sing that song, what a great lifestyle, living for Jesus. Makes you wear a great big smile without an earthly reason. Man, I've known people that have embodied that song. Sit there, if there was a such thing as luck, it hated them. You know what I mean? I've met people like that. You ever meet people like that? If luck existed, it robbed them. This smile on their face. Well, doesn't it bother you that that happened and this happened and that? You know, you pretty much lived through what Job lived through. How are you smiling? Well, I just think God's going to make it all right in the end. I woke up this morning with a song in my heart, and I'm sadder than I've ever been, and I'm more frustrated than I've ever been. But for some reason I can't account for, there's joy in there too. I've chosen joy. God will do that. Oh, there's things that make us sad, things that make us miserable. But we got peace for no reason. Doesn't make any sense why we'd have peace. But He gives us peace. We could be in a situation where there is no comfort. Hey, there's no way to bring me comfortable on this. This is terrible. This is awful. Don't try to make it right. Don't try to make it sound good. This is awful. And what does God do? He comforts you. Well, how can I have comfort when everything is awful? I don't know. It's just something God can do. Something God can do. I joked. It wasn't an off-color joke, but it was kind of a mean joke that I told here recently. And it really didn't victimize anybody, but it was just not the way I normally like to talk. You know, it was just a little too, and we joke back and forth, and every now and then you go, oop, that was too far. Didn't imply anything. It wasn't off color, but it wasn't nice. That bothered me. I reached out to the person and said, hey, listen, I shouldn't have done that. And they sat there and said, well, what? It didn't bother me. I thought that was pretty okay. That was fine. You know, it didn't seem too mean. I kind of laughed. I go, I know, but the Holy Spirit won't leave me alone about it. So I got to apologize to you, the person I said it to, and pretty much just anybody who heard it. So, why? Because I chose to live with God. And for all the good things that He brings into my life, one of the things I need most is for Him to keep me straight. It's for Him to get under my skin when I've gone wrong. Another thing that cannot happen if we're off doing whatever we want instead of doing what is needed. These people, they got more than what they wanted. They got things they could have never guessed at wanting. They served God. They got to be a part of great things. If we want to be a part of great things for God, we must say to the Lord, I surrender all. And we got to mean it. Because as He warns us, there's no pillows. And you can't quit. If you're in it, you got to be in it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful for Your mercy, Your care, Your compassion on us. Lord, all the love You bring to our lives. And Father, we are grateful that You saw fit to bring us into Your service. That, Lord, You would trust us with so great a work of helping our fellow mankind. Lord, I pray that we're found doing just that, that we're obeying You, we're doing the work, we're giving the gospel, we're doing everything we can to help people escape hell and point to You. And Lord, that we would be great as a church, Lord, serving and caring the way the first churches did. And Lord, always turning to You for every decision we make. I pray You find us faithful. And Father, I pray that if You find us not to be so, the Lord, You make it happen for us. The Lord, You bring us under conviction. And the Lord, You would help us be right in Your eyes. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.